Welcome to everybody's favorite third show of the week that is just an offshoot of another two shows hosted by the other guy. Welcome to Street Fight. This is the third show of the week where we try to cover different, things. Most of the time it's just me talking to friends of the show and just chatting it up. But this week I have the ultimate friend of the show, Brett Payne, who is actually the co-host. So, but he's my friend and I host this show. And we're going to go through some viewer mail. But it's not viewer mail because you don't view unless you're on Facebook or Twitter or one of the other eight things we have cameras pointed at us for. But so this is things that you have sent us that we are going to, we feel the need to respond to or to talk about. And I'm going to start, Brett. I'm going to start with a DM that I got a couple days ago. It's actually two. I want to give you both stories because this was such... This was such a great story, and it came right after my daughter's show. We did a show with my daughter. I did a show with my daughter and my niece. People really loved it, and they were, like, political, so it was nice. And this was super high. Hayo, H-A-Y-O.
Right.
A great person. Yes, good follow.
Great person to follow.
Sent me this. Hey, man, I was listening to the adorablest episode of Street Fight, and it reminded me of this thing my own daughter did just yesterday at school. Here's the story. She's in third grade, and for recess, both third graders and kindergartners share the playground. Usually they can mingle with each other. But for some reason, the past couple of days, there have been orange cones separating the classes, which probably some kid got beat up or something. Something happened where they just everybody had to be affected.
Big kid ran into a little kid.
If you have a daughter, at least with my daughter, my experience with my daughter is they love playing with little kids. It's just, it's everything to them. They like to treat them like little babies, actually, yeah. To tell you the truth.
Finally, they have somebody to boss around.
Yeah. So big kids like to hang out with little kids so that they can boss them around. So this was a distressing, her kid and her friends like the young kindergartners. They like to hang out with them. So they were distressed. And his daughter's been studying the suffragette movement and civil rights stuff recently. So they got this idea. They went on recess strike during some free time. They made signs, then smuggled them out the recess, then posted up chanting "For our buddies" and holding the signs. I gotta tell you, this is the most amazing thing. I think that should be our tactic on the United States-Mexican border. Brett and I should just go down there with signs and say, "Hey man, let our buddies over here."
These are our buddies. Yeah, this is great. This is even more inspiring than that episode. I mean, this is political action.
It really is.
It's beyond casting a vote. It's saying, like, I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of these fucking cones getting in the way where I'm trying to play.
At least they didn't do civil disobedience. You know what I mean? Although the teachers did tell them to knock it off, so they did, which... Hey,
yeah, you gotta do that.
I know. They would have just called their parents.
Might go into permanent record, though.
Yeah. But they would have just called your parents, and our guy would just be like, I don't care. Fuck it. She's fighting for her rights. And but they also decided to continue the action by writing letters to the principal demanding action.
That's only so fun. These kids for fun are like running write-in campaigns at school.
Yeah,
elementary school.
We talk about this a lot. This reminds me of the Burgerville story. It's like intense, personal. It's politics. This is politics happening. This is what Street Fight should be covering all the time. Basically,
this is huge news. This is huge news. I want to know if these kids can mingle with each other.
You know, this has to do with the kids seeing this stuff on TV. And following this shit.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
Teachers teach them the suffragette movement and the civil rights movement. And they're like, hey, but I'm not the bad guy here.
I know. That's the thing. That's what you're always going to get them. You're always going to get them with they don't want to be the bad guy. And when you look at those old situations, it's obvious. And
my daughter does it to me, too. She still fucks with me, too. Like, you know, I'm a, why are you being such a boss? Why are you being bossy? Why are you being an authoritarian?
That was disgusting.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, but The only four kids didn't participate in the protest, so he got to teach his daughter about scabs and how they're bad.
This is great. I mean, this is type of training that we've lost. I mean, this actually, and this is a part of our heritage. People were talking about this stuff a long time ago, but they squashed it all out. Like, you weren't allowed to have camaraderie or solidarity with the people that you interact with daily.
Yeah, it's like we used to plan walkouts at school, but it was bullshit because it was for stuff like when I was in high school, we were going to do a walkout because they wouldn't let us smoke during school hours. It's like we would have never won that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you got to let people know which side are you on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the side where we no cones, no masters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Erase that border. But here's another story that I want to bring up, and then, you know, we'll get it. Brett has a bunch, too. But was listening to the Dank Metal episode. People love that show, too. And talking about shoplifting from grocery stores reminded me that my wife does this all the time, but she avoids calling it stealing. She calls it discounting, which is now a part of Street Fight lore. We will start calling things discount. Yes. Because you aren't... You're not stealing everything. Let me get into the explanation here. She'll put something she doesn't want to pay for on the bottom of the cart, and 9 times out of 10, the cashier doesn't say anything about it, which is true. I've tried this. It works. It's a good way to get free pop, LaCroix, bottled water.
I made a habit out of this just having my kid. Like when I would take my daughter to the store chasing around an 18-month-old baby, and I'm looking so frazzled in some sweatpants and shit, and it's like, oh no, I forgot to put those 6 cases of water from the bottom of the cart up there. And you just let it ride because you have a real excuse. Like once you have an excuse that you can stick to, it's like, I mean, I'll try.
It's a can't lose situation, yeah. Really, because it's like, shit, I forgot to pay for it.
Right.
Well, listen to this story, Brett. This is terrific. Listen to the story of discounting. this is the best instance of discounting she made me an unwitting accomplice to last December, which by the way, you have,
always
I mean,
be. That's if... a nice, that's the best way to be an accomplice is unwitting because you can't get nailed down in court if you're an unwitting accomplice. That's the nice thing to do.
And if your wife wants you to steal with her, you have to do it. That's the law.
True.
You know what I mean? That's the law of...
She was being polite, though.
Yeah, 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 she was asking. They went to Kroger to buy a Christmas tree. They parked at the curb in front of the store. The plan that they would go in and buy the tree, and he would put it in the car in the meantime, which is stealing. Like, that's... You know you're gonna... He says unwitting, but a part of it is like, I don't know, man. My wife is a discounter. She had me put this tree in the car and I haven't paid for it yet.
Which this is perfect move. I mean, Christmas is when you have no money for this shit. How are you supposed to, you're supposed to take a live tree, bring it into your house and nurture it like a fucking plant and pay for all that. You got to spend $6.99 on fertilizing water, all of that.
It's $50. It's 50 yeah. bucks. Stealing a Christmas tree is like grand theft in my world. Like that $50 is about as high as I'll go on stealing.
I didn't have $50 in September. Why would I have $50 in December when I'm going to 6 cocktail parties this month?
Yeah. So his wife gets in there. She goes to the self-checkout and she decided this is also, he's going to explain something here that is exactly why I do most of my stealing. She didn't want to fuck with flagging someone down about the tree. So she just checked out the stuff and left, which is true, man. That, yeah, if you don't make me have to flag somebody down to pay for them. To pay them money. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, yeah. If they give you a chance. I feel like, and also discounting is the proper term. It's really a part of their business model, I'm sure, as they say, oh, we got a lot of people discounting out there. And they use all kinds of financial tricks, you know, to get it out the door.
Oh, they discount all day and all night.
Yes.
Like Kroger discounts all the time.
Exactly.
Kroger is the, and like the reason they even have these self-checkout lanes is so they don't have to hire people.
Right. I mean, they're willing to take a hit. They're willing to get stolen from enough to not pay for people.
Yeah, yeah.
So we
absolutely.
We got to steal them out of existence then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's even then, it's like, you know, if these motherfuckers You're exactly right. Just steal them. Steal until they start looking for us. Pretty soon, though, they're going to check all of our bags when we walk out of the store with the receipt. But they don't have the guts to even do that because it would make the shopping experience so fucking shitty.
So abysmal.
The goal that they have, I think, and it's something that's picking up a lot in Columbus. I'm sure in, like, California and shit, it's how everybody does it. But, like, curbside pickup. That's what they want us all doing, curbside pickup. Much harder to steal from the internet than it is to go into the store and do it.
That's very true. And I've seen enough think pieces about how the grocery store makes people melt down. It does seem like a good fit.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was gonna say. I'm sorry. That is interesting.
Yep.
Because that was huge in D.C. Everybody was doing that.
Yeah, that's the end. That's the motherfucking end. I see people lining up to get their stuff now. I'm like, don't you know you can't discount anything if you do that? You ain't going to get no free pop. You're not going to get those LaCroix for free. And believe me, they don't ever put the pop on sale no more. It's over. You got to buy four to get it for $3, you know? It's like, fuck, man. I know a lot of you don't drink pop. But I still do. I have a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper and a 12-pack of 7-Up at my house. So I'm not going to need to buy one for like a month. So what do you got, Brett? What do you got from the email?
First of all, I want to say Brian gave this wonderful intro, but I can't let go of control that much. I have to say thank you to everybody tuning in for the show. And I have to let you know, I see your emails. But then I have, like, this thing where I break down and, like, just freeze because I want to say something that's funny or witty or makes your day. And then also, like, dealing with people, though, if you give too much, then people start replying back and forth. And it's like, you know, it just – sometimes it just makes me catatonic about the whole thing. But I do want to address these, and I'm so happy that we have the third show going. That's only happening because Patreon is – giving us money every single month. And so I had somebody that wrote in to the email a while ago, named Jacob, and said, I don't want to be that guy. It's like, so you know what's going to happen.
It's going to be something we don't like, but it's okay.
That guy, he can't help it though. He's the guy. I listened to your most recent episode and had to correct you about Thomas Dolby.
Oh man. Well,
she
here's the thing.
Blinded me with science.
He invented the sound that they'd use in the movie theater. So we're not going to hate on him. What are we correcting him about? I don't remember bringing him up.
He has a hit album and song.
Well, hell yeah, he does. He has a few of them.
Flat Earth. He's not a flat earther though.
BS.
We brought him up as a famous flat earth celebrity along with Kyrie Irving and AJ Styles.
Which is great company to be in, by the way.
Imagine sitting in that hot tub with those fellas.
That's the only cigars. Thomas Dolby was actually the one I was kind of like, wow, I got to start paying attention to this guy.
This guy's
now
got brains, this man. This guy's an independent thinker.
This guy hangs out with the fucking smart ones.
He hasn't been brainwashed by Hollyweird.
But he has an album named Flat Earth. That's cool.
Well, here's what Jacob has to say, though. He's not a flat earther. He is, however, honorary member number one of the Flat Earth Society.
And let me guess. Jacob is not a flat earther. He's a ball earther.
I think he's not willing to accept his favorite electro artist from the 80s may have a different take on the world.
That's the thing. This is a prime example of how mad people get at flat earth.
Well, he's the guy. Here's what the guy says. I'm pretty sure the reason is that he released an album called The Flat Earth. And of course, there is a song on the album that has the same title. But the context of the song makes it something of a poetic thing. Okay, poetic. So I decided we should dive into these lyrics.
I will
have a listen to this.
I can adjudicate. Yeah, you explain it to me. First of all, as I was explaining, ball earthers cannot let anybody be a flat earther.
No.
They just, Thomas Dolby ain't out there clarifying his stance. You know what I mean? Thomas Dolby doesn't.
He's fine with people.
He's like, I don't care if people think it's fucking
flat. He let the
flat.
Number one anarcho comedy radio show on any station across the nation say he was a flat earther and didn't mind.
Well, that's how I feel. If he had cared, he would have probably gotten
a
hold of
us.
With
his cease and desist.
Publicist would have called us.
Okay, you ready? So here's the promise of, here is the definitely guy doesn't believe in a flat earth. The earth can be any shape you want it, any shape at all. I mean, what are we talking, like a disc, like a coin?
It can be one shape, flat.
Yeah. Dark and cold or bright and warm, long or thin or small. Right, long like a piece of paper, very long like a long round piece of paper.
Thin like a sheet. Thin right. Like a
play mat.
Like a God's play mat.
Like a God's play mat with a dome over top of it that reaffirms his faith for us, in us. Okay, so long or thin or small, but it's home and all I ever had, and maybe why for me the earth is flat. Well, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I don't know if, I think that this heliocentrism has kind of blinded Jacob on this one, because that is definitely a vote for the earth is flat.
It's also basically street fight stance on whether the earth is flat or not. It's like, man, if you say it's flat, you right. know?
Friends have often asked me why I'm sensitive about my height. Oh, he's getting too heady now.
Oh, God, get out of here. Yeah, okay, it's not about you, Thomas Dolby. It's about the shape of the goddamn earth.
Yeah, we're talking about bigger things than you. I would look around and say, I thought I was immune. All my life I've waited to be given any word. It was screaming to be heard. Please remember, the earth can be any shape you want it, any shape at all. That is beautiful. I think he is a flat earther because he believes in a flat-ass earth.
He
and
does.
That's what makes him happy. And, like, at the end of the day, when you lay your head on that pillow and you just lay so fucking horizontal, dude, there's no curvature at all.
Flat. Yeah, your feet ain't sliding up the curve or anything.
No, you are. You aren't arching your back. You haven't overextended your abdominals in any sort of way. The earth is just so parallel to the ground. I mean, that's just a flat earth, man. There's no boats ever go over the edge.
Right.
In the story.
In the vein of this same thing, I got a DM from JackFade11. Yo, in your last episode, you repeatedly referred to things as going all around the world, buying into the ball earth truth. Please say across the world from here on out. Well, Jack, now, one thing I want to caution you against, if you're one of my flat earth brethren, is that you can still go around the world. It is a circle. There's a circular ice wall around it.
You can circumvent it.
I'm not saying the earth isn't right. It's like a pog. Think of a pog. But thank you for...
I respect that. Yeah.
Thanks for correcting me.
You're talking about, you're right, going across the globe, going from point A to point B in a straight line with not going around anything. I agree with that.
Well, there's nothing close to the ice wall at all. There's no reason to go around it. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, I mean, I obviously don't think I know everything. So we slip up sometimes and, you know, say something... maybe homophobic or racist or sexist on accident or just trying to make a joke, or maybe something even heliocentric. And we don't mean to push any sort of agenda or any established NASA type thought policing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. We got any other? Any more?
Good ones.
Give me another one, man. Give me another one, baby.
Small business. How about that?
I fucking love nothing more than to hear about small business.
Small business is a big one. Brian and I at Pittsburgh are going to give you an opening spot all about it.
Or will have given you an opening spot all about
sure,
it.
Sure. But yeah, this show is going to focus on that. And so we had a write-in from a guy that has been around forever. I'm a big fan of his. His name's Eye on Ohio.
I got an eye on Ohio too. We both got eyes on Ohio.
And Archie, hey Brett, enjoyed your recent show about the virtues of small business. Man, did it shake some memories loose. Oh, I love memories when they get shook loose, when they just cripple you in the middle of what you're doing. I recall one incident when I was about 20 or so. I was hired as a maintenance person at a miniature golf course. Sweet gig, right? Basically, I had to show up in the morning a few times a week to mow the grass and make sure everything was presentable on the course.
Sounds like a decent job.
Someone's got to do it.
I was going to say, I was under the understanding that it all happened on carpet and that, like, any smart miniature golf company would just use rocks on the ground so they didn't have to mow any grass. But I guess weeds grow out of every place. So it doesn't matter. You can have grass.
It did take a turn. He says, at least that's what I was told. The 36-hole course.
Let me cut you off here real quick. If you are working for a small business, whatever they tell you in the interview is what they need you to do that day. it does not mean it's your job. Your job when you work at a small business is anything that the fucking owner tells you you have to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to be working in that person's eyes. Like, whatever, it doesn't matter the contract that you signed. It's whatever they consider working, what they want you to do.
Yeah. I mean, they only ever know what they need done for one day. It's like, oh yeah, most of your job's going to be folding shirts and sweeping that trash out of that corner.
And all of a sudden you're plunging a toilet.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least that's what I was told. The 36-hole course was owned by an older couple. I pretty much only dealt with the guy. And on the first day, he took me to a part of... On the first day, he told me to take apart all of the course's benches. I was to pile all of the wood from the benches in the clubhouse and then paint them all. Now, I knew fuck all about painting, and there was no instruction presented, but I felt I did a decent enough job. The next day informs me that he was docking my pay a few hours because some of the paint smeared. That's bullshit.
Once they start docking your pay, you need to get another job, yeah, like right away.
Fuck with your money. You don't ever let people fuck with your money like that. It's not worth sticking around places like that.
I had one of my restaurant tyrant. I saw him one day threaten a guy because he set like a big tub of chili. He kind of sat it on top of this crate so that he could stir it and then put it back up. He was like, whew, I'm just watching you there. And when that thing spills, I'm going to dock your pay $100. And I was like, shit, this has just turned high risk.
Speak up. Yeah. 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 Let me know the best way to do this then. If my money's on the line. Okay. So he said he was a dumbass and felt bad about it. We understand. They beat us in all full of that guilt. After that, at least for a few weeks, he pretty much left me alone or wasn't there in the mornings. I think he even might have given me the key to open up. Regular tasks were not that bad for a minimum wage job. But then he starts shifting my position to later in the day so I can work the register. So you got his trust. You were smart. It's from the 1950s and super broke. Oh, man. I think there was an older backup next to it. There were special codes and tickets and all this other bullshit I had to know. And then he would melt down every time I failed to understand. I mean, finicky systems. I've been thrown into so many bosses' finicky systems. Making my way off of Craigslist jobs, it's just trying to figure out how this fucking maniac makes this place run.
Well, yeah, they can't fucking give you a handbook because they don't know what they're doing. You know,
I mean, we're doing the same thing. I'm trying to get people to help with Street Fight right now. And I'm like, I have a really fucked up way of working that isn't successful for anybody else but me. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to teach that. Sorry. So the golf course was at a very busy intersection, 4 lanes of traffic in all directions. And sometimes a kid would hit it real hard and the ball would go into the street. Now, he would not directly tell us to go get those balls, but it was understood that that was what you had to do. I didn't understand how dangerous it was at the time, but I wanted to get off the property for a few minutes so bad that running into traffic was preferable.
It's a good way. I always wanted to get off the property, too. I worked at a golf course, and they had pop machines at the top of the hill right by the entrance, like a half mile away from where the dishwashing place was. And every once in a while, they would have to have me go out and fill that pop machine. One of the most rewarding jobs I ever. I could dick around in a golf cart, smoke cigarettes, hit a one-hitter. It was just a fantastic place.
I know, but I also feel like that guy coming down like, you know, Archie, now, we ain't too fancy around here. If a goddamn a Titleist golf ball goes over that highway over there, it's worth 75 cents. I mean, it still is whether or not we're leaving money on the table that's right out there. I don't see why it happens somebody in my employ that doesn't understand that you got to hustle to get by in this world, son.
Now, I ain't trying to make you do it. I would never tell you you have to do it, but it's something, you know, if you want to be the CEO of this company someday, you might want to start doing it.
I'm mostly very disappointed in all the people that won't run across the highway to get me a ball to shove into them driving range machines.
Yeah.
Okay, so one day, the old man pulled me aside and gave me a sort of pep talk about work ethic. Oh, this is some of that old school knowledge, some of that Mike Rowe shit. He made me guess how old he was. That's great. That's whenever someone gets you in that, I'm like, I want to run away.
You should have said 65. Guess
how old I am.
You 65, sir? Like, however
so old. Guess how old I am.
No, the highest number run. You can think Stop. Of and still be alive.
A billion?
You're 82? Is that, you don't look a day over 73.
He made me guess how old he was. I said 60s. He said he was 75. Okay. Woo!
So, hey, wow. Man, maybe you could learn some secrets from him.
Done been through it. Then he went on a tirade about how he had not taken a vacation in 35 years. Dumb. That's dumb.
Yeah.
How did you miss that?
You're
I think
at
about
a...
vacation constantly.
And this is your... Here's the thing, man. This is his business, so he's just a dumbass for not taking any time off. It's a miniature golf course. It can be closed for 10 minutes. Jesus.
Well, this is even better. I held on to that bit of info for a while and remember seeing him in the paper a few years later... And an article said he was in his late 50s.
That son of a bitch. He was so...
senior valor.
Yeah, he was so annoyed that you said older than he was. That he was just annoyed. He was like, no, actually, I'm 75.
No, I'm not a 50-year-old man that looks 65. I'm a 75-year-old man that looks 65.
Yeah.
That's amazing. He also owned some horse farms and was pretty well off. And I think he definitely had vacations. Yeah, like, how do you... My hours got weirder as it continued. And as I was working birthday parties, which I didn't sign up for before too long, the old lady fired me after I accidentally threw the dumpster keys in the dumpster. That's a great one.
So he's stealing
God
heart.
God damn it. I've been bitching about you all week long. And you go and do something like this. You're fucking out of here.
He's stealing hard worker valor. What a bastard.
That was great. Thank you so much for that story. It was amazing. Yeah.
I got a small business story too from Jorts Authority, who had somebody he shared a text exchange with his boss that I'd love to get out there a little bit.
Ooh, I like the sound of this.
It's not too so this boss asks him a question and he responds to the boss, "Good, will do." Boss responds, "Could I please get a little more feedback than good and K sometimes?" Which I get, he's like, "Well, my father-in-law's in the hospital for heart and liver failure and has been since last month." And he's like, George's story's like, "Hey, I'd appreciate it if you cut me a fucking break here, okay? You fucking dingus."
It is weird the way that they treat you in such a fucked up way. And it's like, but can't we be nice about it? Like, can we talk about the weather at least?
Well, so he explains that he updated the notes and stuff. Here's his boss's. I just want to give you the boss's response here because it's a good small business tyrant response. "I was in the ER last night until 2 a.m. and I can still communicate in a professional manner with my staff's clients and family."
I'm the king of this shit. I run the ship that you're on, son. I'm sitting here with the IV in my arm, doing work, trying to make you a better person.
I love, they do that so much. You'll be like, "Oh, you know, last night was a tough night." And they're like, "No shit. Well, it was for me too. I was up all night balancing the books for this goddamn business that I run." Okay. Yeah. That you get money from, you motherfucker.
Yeah. The one guy that I had was like he was a World of Warcraft like miner. He thought he was smart because he played that video game and would sell like the spoils that he got from dungeon crawling.
But son, I'm an entrepreneur.
And he had these pictures on his wall of people that he knew. Like, he did nothing else except for run his business and play World of Warcraft. And there was these pictures, and he would tell all these stories about, like when he used to know people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Psychos, man. You get wrapped up in someone's world.
You got another thing?
I think I do.
Got one more? We're going to do one more, okay?
Okay, one more. This is from a longtime friend as well.
Longtime friends in the city.
This is from Joseph is Vegan on Twitter. Give him
a
follow.
Shit, he's back?
Yeah, and consider going vegan in his honor at least like one day a week because I do a terrible job of representing animal rights on the show anymore. He said, "Hi, Street Fight guys. Love you boys very much. This is Joseph. If you rate on the show, please identify me by first name only." So he sent us this article back from February that Dilbert creator Scott Adams ends the UC Berkeley support over the Milo protests. And he said he didn't feel safe. So the quote that he sent us is that the Dilbert creator doesn't feel safe anymore on college campuses and is no longer donating to his alma mater, UC Berkeley. And he has this to say. With regards to the protests at Berkeley, Adams said he had decided to side with the Jewish gay immigrant who has the African-American boyfriend, referring to Yiannopoulos, rather than hypnotized zombie boys in black masks who are clubbing people who would hold different points of view. Sorry, I'm a terrible reader.
Aren't we all?
I know. Yeah. And so Adams said that he would... Berkeley professor told him that he wouldn't be welcome on campus and expressed concern that some might club him to death if he were to walk on campus.
Jeez.
Dilbert has to check his bag.
That fucking Dilbert guy is such a dumbass. My dad loves him, though. Yeah, I mean, he loves Dilbert. Dilbert really captures the mood of working, I guess, somewhere better than we do, I guess. I mean, he's got more followers.
Big job.
Big job. Well, I want to thank everybody that wrote in.
Yeah, we appreciate
and,
it.
And we'll do more of these, obviously.
There's going to be more. We're going to flood the emails now that we do this.
Send us some emails, man.
Streetfightradio@gmail.com.
Advice, any kind of thing you want to tell us. Small business tyrants are always fun. And we'll see you next week or whenever the next fucking show is.
Yeah, bye. That's a lot. It's hard to say.